the law assumed sermon, the gospel afterthought sermon, the God loves you anyway sermon. I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
If James Madison or Thomas Jefferson were to come back to the United States, their first response would be, what is the Department of Health and Human Services, and what gives it the authority to tell an order of nuns that they have to provide coverage for contraception in their health care plan?
God deeply, dearly, profoundly loves every single human being. To entertain racist thoughts is to be anti-love, to be anti-God and anti-truth.
You can hear the same sort of, oh, the worst sort of sin is to judge or to be self-righteous. Well, guess what? That's what the whole world thinks is the worst sin. These are the prophets of our age, and they must be condemned.
I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ron from Ontario, Canada.
Confessional Lutherans who play in German polka bands, love issues, etc.
It was certainly a spectacle. I can't think of something that would be more of a spectacle than watching the moon pass over the face of the near noonday sun. So it was certainly a spectacle for many in the United States who got to witness the total solar eclipse. Of course, there are descriptions of signs in the heavens, and oftentimes when Christians see that, they want to draw conclusions about what this must mean. And in Pop American Christianity, those conclusions, well, there's no shortage of those kind of conclusions. Sometimes they're even called prophecies or predictions. We're going to be talking about solar eclipse prophecies on This Week in Pop American Christianity. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest, and then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a game we like to play with our listeners where we play four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio, and your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Then at the very end, we will review the movie Annabelle Creation with Pastor Ted Giese. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity today, Solar Eclipse Prophecies, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
By the way, did you get to actually see the total solar eclipse where you live?
Not in North Dakota. I had to travel to Jefferson City, Missouri in order to see the eclipse.
Okay, so you saw it yourself. Many people describe the event, the spectacle, as something akin to a spiritual experience. But what should Christians conclude when they witness something like this?
I think of the creed that says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. It was amazing to watch the eclipse itself and realize that, oh my word, this creation that God has made is so amazing. I mean, it to see the sun's corona, when I traveled to Jefferson City, kind of a long story, we wanted to see it in Nebraska because it's a lot short of a drive, but we ended up having to drive through bad weather in order to find the sunshine in order to see the eclipse. And as we were watching, literally the moon pass in front of the sun and finally to see the sun's corona, and I mean, it was an emotional experience. It really was truly amazing. It put a tear in my eye, and I realized that, man, this creation that God has made, that he has made it so that the moon fits perfectly over the sun, that it's just the right distance for us to be able to experience eclipses like this. I mean, it makes you feel very small and insignificant, and it makes you realize that, oh, wow, the Genesis account of Scripture, of the fact that God has created everything that we see. I mean, it was really, really awesome, humbling, and amazing all at the same time. So, I mean, it's not like there isn't some significance to it, but it has to do with God being creator and God being sustainer of the creation that we find ourselves in.
And that's something that every Christian ought to know. That's something Christians have confessed. It's something clearly taught, as you mentioned, the Genesis account in Holy Scripture. There's no new revelations going on here, are there?
No, and they see, that's kind of the thing is that American evangelicalism, in its overemphasis on eschatology, always tries to look for the latest and greatest sign, wonder, harbinger, whatever, of the imminent return of Christ. And they end up kind of missing the whole plot line altogether by overemphasizing eschatology and thinking that they've got it all kind of sorted out, when in reality they don't.
Before we go to some examples of solar eclipse prediction, you use the term eschatology there, end times, what the scriptures teach about the end times, which in the end is remarkably simple. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. But why is it that Pop American Christianity is from time to time completely obsessed with end times?
It has a lot to do with their particular view. They are premillennial oftentimes in their eschatology. And then there's the big debate, as you know, regarding the rapture. And so what if you want to kind of get the idea of what it is they believe, you can read the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye, and that'll kind of give it to you in novel format. But over and again, because of their eschatology, they're always playing the game of kind of pin the tail on the Antichrist and always trying to figure out, who's the whore of Babylon and, who's going to be the world leader who's going to rise up and ride the beast and all. It is this weird obsession that they have that causes them to always kind of be trying to crack the latest code that God is apparently, broadcasting, throughout the earth so that they can have the inside skinny as to, when Jesus is going to return. But I think back to, when I was an evangelical, when in junior high and high school, the book that everybody was reading and talking about was Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth. And his predictions in the 70s didn't pan out. And so he, he wrote a book in the 1980s called 1980s Countdown to Armageddon. And that didn't exactly pan out. And now we've got new fellows, although Hal Lindsey technically still broadcasts, but we have new fellows who've kind of taken his place. This would be like Jonathan Kahn or even Jim Baker or Mark Biltz or Hagee and others. These guys have kind of risen up to fill that spot, and over and again, when they publish books that claim the latest signs in the heavens and things like that, they end up selling bazillions of copies of these books, which at the end of the day, when their predictions don't turn out and they don't happen as expected, at least with the anticipation that they create, these books, they end up going for sale for pennies on the dollar, at a local used bookstore. I mean, they basically become only good for like birdcage lining and things like that.
What are we going to hear first, Chris?
All right, so we're going to check in with three different people regarding what they were saying leading up to the solar eclipse on Monday. The first is Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. This is the man who is the author of The Harbinger, wrote the book on the Shemitah, and he's going to, you're going to note, not exactly be very firm as to what the significance of the solar eclipse is.
I'm going to address something or respond to something that's come to us, come to me with people asking, what do you say about this? So it's something that people are interested in. So I'm going to touch on it, which is the solar eclipse. There are those saying that this means it's going to be judgment or it has to be judgment, could be judgment, or what's going to happen. And, I respect everybody involved here. I want to say a few things. If you know me, and I think you do, you would know that with any of these things, when there's a date set or there's a, this has to be on this date, be cautious both ways. And that is, does something, can something happen? Yes. Does something have to happen? No. Can God do something? Yes. Does God have to do something? No. These things can be linked, can be signs of judgments or other things, but they also can be just a regular day. So be ready either way, no matter what. When somebody, if the next day is going to be judgment, make sure you're right with God more than anything else. And be ready if that day doesn't come as such, then be ready to serve the Lord just as you did the day before. So what about the solar eclipse? What's happening? Is a solar eclipse, is what's coming, is it judgment? Does it mean judgment? Or can it be? Well, in the Bible, what does it say? The Bible speaks about the sun being darkened. That is spoken of as a sign of judgment. But the primary context, which says on that day the sun shall be darkened, it's not so much speaking of a regular order of things. You know, an eclipse is a regular order. There are eclipses every year in some form or another. But it happens because God set it up that way. That's like clockwork. That's how we set up the solar system. But when it speaks about on the day of judgment, the sun will be darkened, that's overwhelmingly a cataclysmic phenomenon. Having said that, could the darkening of the sun, even by a regularly ordered way, could that also be a sign of judgment? It can. It's another form of the sun being darkened. Doesn't mean it has to be. Doesn't mean that, no, it doesn't have to be.
It's kind of the definition of hedging one's bets, Chris.
Yeah, you know, I remember reading about when Christian missionaries made it into the Scandinavian countries where people actually worshipped Odin and Thor and Norse deities like that, that the first generation of Christians, when they were buried, one side of their tombstone would be a Christian tombstone and the other side would mention Thor and Odin and things like that. I mean, talk about hedging your bets. I mean, that was a whole lot of nothing. And, you know, which kind of begs the question, if the solar eclipse on Monday was a sign from God and God was trying to communicate something to humanity, clearly, at least Jonathan Cahn was uncertain and not committed to whatever that message could potentially be, or maybe potentially not be, because it didn't have to be, but it could be. So you don't want to be, you know, firm one way or another. You just need to be open to the thing that God may or may not be doing at, you know, in the eclipse. And that's kind of the point. I mean, if God was trying to communicate something to us, Jonathan Cahn was not committed to any particular prophetic significance attached to Monday's solar eclipse.
I've noticed this, though, with other predictions that we've heard, how it's like, well, I heard from God that this is what this thing means or this is what's going to happen. But if it doesn't, you know, I've been wrong before. So, you know, you're going to be kind of going to give me a pass on this. That's totally a kind of the coward's way out. If you're going to make a prediction and especially claim that you heard it from God, then do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, back in the day, false prophets were brave souls who would, you know, risk their own lives to, you know, say, thus saith the Lord. And Jonathan Cahn was not prepared to do that, to basically walk out on that limb and have somebody saw it off. I mean, you know, he correctly did note, though, that eclipses seem to be a natural thing. They occur at regular intervals. And in my lifetime, I've seen several of them, although this was the first time I've seen a total eclipse. You know, in my lifetime, I've seen many lunar eclipses, a few solar eclipses, and now a total eclipse. They happen with such regularity and frequency that you can Google this. I mean, there's websites that are dedicated to showing you the path of totality for the next eclipses for the next several hundred years. In fact, in reading up on, you know, the coming solar eclipses, I was excited to hear in the year 2145 that there's going to be a spectacular solar eclipse that and the totality will last over 6 minutes. I mean, it's going to be most amazing eclipse in this millennia. Of course, I won't be around for that, but I mean, this is so mathematically understood and predictable that to somehow attach prophetic significance to a naturally occurring event that we can tell you when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen for the next few centuries, I don't see that as any kind of communication from God as far as like signs and wonders regarding judgment or, you know, any kind of eschatological significance.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about solar eclipse predictions. We've heard one that actually wasn't a prediction. It was just, well, something could happen, but it probably won't. But if it does, I said something could happen, didn't I? So when we come back, we'll hear a couple other examples. Maybe stronger, maybe weaker. We'll find out.
Who is the Holy Spirit? Will there be animals in heaven? How can parents raise Christian children in a hostile culture? This month, find faithful, Bible-based answers to tough theological questions when you subscribe to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine, The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
The third and final book in the premier novel series for Christian women is out. The latest in the Anthems of Zion series is titled The Harvest Raise. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Katie Schuerman. Learn more about The Harvest Raise at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Harvest Raise, the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, 1-800-325-3040.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Most Christian schools today use the same books, teaching methods, and structure as America's failing anti-Christian public schools. We owe it to our fathers and descendants in the faith to offer a distinctively Lutheran education. Redeemer Classical School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, offers a time-tested education in the great books of the Western world and the Catechism and Confessions of the Lutheran Church. Visit fortwayneclassical.com to learn more about our curriculum, enroll your children, or sponsor the education of young Lutherans. That's fortwayneclassical.com.
A year ago, my wife and I returned to America from 5 years of ministry in Karachi, Pakistan. I cannot adequately express how wonderful it was listening to Lutheran Public Radio's music broadcast each Sunday morning before church service. We still listen.
You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, anytime, day or night, at LutheranPublicRadio.org, Amazon Echo, Google Home, and on the LPR mobile app.
The way that we solve questions in America is not through marching around punching at things. Well, I guess that's not the way we should solve things.
The real problem here is the way she cherry picks the text. It reminds me of that game we used to play as kids. What does that cloud look like that you see up there? You know, and somebody thinks it looks like Abraham Lincoln and somebody else thinks it looks like George Washington. And
if the past is anything to go by, I would not be terribly surprised if the 500th retrenches this idea that the Reformation was important for all sorts of reasons, very few of which have to do with the gospel.
It's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves us from sin, that saves us from death, and that saves us from hell. The Reformation was all about the sufficiency of Christ's work.
That's just a snippet of each of the 4 sound bites we're going to be playing for you in about 15 minutes when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today, solar eclipse prophecies. What's next, Chris?
Next, we're going to be listening to a very famous YouTube prophecy prognosticator, Paul Begley, and we're going to note how he attaches the solar eclipse from Monday to particular biblical passages in the prophet Amos.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Folks, I want to show you a couple things in the Bible that relate directly to this total solar eclipse. But I want to share a couple verses in the Bible for you. On eclipse. Now, you guys have heard me quote Amos 8:9. We know that there's solar eclipses are used as signs. Jonah on the first day of Elul, the first day of the 40 days of repentance, went into Nineveh preaching that God was going to destroy the city in 40 days. And on that very same day was a solar eclipse. Now, this total solar eclipse that's going to happen on August 21st is also on the first day of Elul, just like it was in the days of Jonah and Nineveh. And again, I'm preaching repentance for America. As the 40 days of repentance begins, we will have a total solar eclipse across this country. But will we repent? Let me read to you what it says in the book of Joel, chapter 2. It says this in verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And then if you stay in Joel, go to the next chapter, Joel 3. Another reference to a eclipse. Here's what it says, and this is amazing, because you have to understand, as this total solar eclipse goes across America, it's a 70-mile-wide valley, and I'm going to call it the Valley of Decision. It's 70 miles wide from the coast of Oregon to the coast of South Carolina. Matter of fact, 14 different states will be in its direct path. As this valley goes, it also is the exact line in which the United States was divided during the Civil War between the North and the South. And we couldn't be a more divided nation today than we've ever been.
So what do we get there, Chris?
A whole lot of nothing still. You'll notice he claimed that Jonah began preaching in Nineveh on the first day of Elul and concurrent with a solar eclipse that happened in the ancient world. No biblical text says that. And what's fascinating is that we have that story from the Pharisees. Literally, that's part of their rabbinic tradition that was inherited from the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were fellows who added to Scripture. So that's ridiculous. And then claiming that, you know, that it's somehow a valley of decision. I mean, it sounds so pious and all, but at the end of the day, it's like, how can you say that the eclipse that happened on Monday was the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2 or Joel chapter 3? How do you know the eclipse that didn't happen in 1979 wasn't the one that fulfilled that? Or how about the one in 1918 that, you know, crossed America at that time on June 8th of 1918? It's just absurd in its face. And when you read the biblical text that he's referencing, it talks about the sun being darkened and the moon turning to blood. The moon was not blood colored during the solar eclipse. I actually witnessed it with my own eyes. It was as black gets, because we were in its shadow. So, I mean, talk about absurdity. But, you know, hey, the evangelicals eat it up. Just quote a biblical text, say it has to do with the eclipse, and whammo blammo, hey, you have a prophetic prediction. It's just that easy.
You have another example?
Yes, this is going to be from the Jim Baker Show with Jim Baker and Mark Biltz. Mark Biltz, a famous prognosticator of the four blood moons eschatology significance. Listen to his range of insights into what the eclipse means.
Genesis 1:14, God declares that he is creating the sun and the moon for signs and for seasons and for days and years. The word signs is in there. The sun and the moon were created in the star. And we're about to see the heavens declare.
Well, Luke 21:25, Jesus says there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And what do we have? We have solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, and the Revelation 12 sign in the heavens. Mm-hmm. The exact path of the solar eclipse across the United States voted 95% for Trump.
I want to know, what do you think this means? This is strange.
Well, I think basically it means that we as a church, we have 40 days to really repent. Just like, Abraham, he was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, trying to find at least 10 righteous. I don't know how many righteous is needed for America, but I believe, and this is what they're taught in Judaism, and they said because the Gentiles go by the sun for their calendar, a solar eclipse represents judgment coming upon a nation. A lunar eclipse, because Israel goes by the moon, refers to judgment coming upon Israel. Many people don't realize this, but World War I started in August of 1914, and there was a total solar eclipse over Eastern Europe and the Ottoman Empire. And what happens? You have this total solar eclipse, beginning of World War I, and the Ottoman Empire is destroyed. Mm. So just like I never set dates for anything, but what I do say is, look at the events that happen on God's calendar so you know if it's God who's speaking or not. And then hopefully we repent and judgment is stayed. But I believe judgment, because it's falling at Elul 1, over, and this is the first time a solar eclipse has ever gone over the entire United States and nowhere else in over 100 years. Mm. Do we know what time it is right now?
Okay, what did he manage to squeeze out of this naturally occurring event?
Well, apparently we got 40 days, less than 40 days now. I mean, so this is like Lent squared. You know, we got 40 days to repent as a nation, or God's going to destroy us like he destroyed the Ottoman Empire. That's kind of what I got out of that. But you're going to notice that he was speaking in vagaries. He was saying it could happen. You know, and my question is, you know, if there's one solar eclipse that led, you know, that he claims it was significant in the bringing of World War I, how many other world wars have been caused by the subsequent solar eclipses that have occurred, including the one 99 years ago in 1918? You know, this is just fear-mongering. And I would note that the Jim Baker Show excels in fear-mongering and creating eschatological anxiety, because they sell a lot of prepper supplies, including large buckets of dehydrated food that will help you survive the Great Tribulation. And so, I mean, this was right in Jim Baker's wheelhouse as far as creating fear and anxiety in order to move prepper products. That's the only way I can describe what it is that I heard.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, to me, this sounds like supply and demand, but demand probably being the operative work here. If it weren't for these preachers' felt needs to supply this to their hearers want some significance in this. They demand that their preachers tell them something more than this, well, there's going to be a solar eclipse on Friday. Is that a pretty common problem in evangelicalism? What would the scripture call it? The hearers need to have their ears itched.
Yeah, that's exactly a part of what's going on. I think it is part of our sinful nature. We really want to believe that, you know, we're part of some super-de-duper special end times generation, and that we, unlike Christians who've preceded us, have finally been able to figure out with precision how to crack the Bible code. And as a result of it, we want God to be able to say of us, we're the sharpest tools in the Christian shed. And unfortunately, this kind of pride and eschatological overemphasis, what it ends up doing is taking the church off of mission. The church has been commissioned by Christ to make disciples of all nations, baptizing, teaching all that Christ has commanded. And he said he's going to be with us always, even until the end of the age. And yes, Christ has told us ahead of time what to expect regarding, you know, the days immediately preceding his imminent return. But he's told us this so that we wouldn't have fear and anxiety, because he's told us these things ahead of time, so that we can continue to stay focused on proclaiming Christ, calling people to repent of their sins and to be forgiven, so that they can, when Jesus returns, rather than hear from him, "Depart from me, I never knew you," that people can hear from him, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because they are clothed in the righteousness of Christ and are bearing good fruit in keeping with repentance and good works towards our neighbor. But this stuff, that it takes people's mind totally off of that.
Will you be dealing with any false prophecies tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Always. That's the staple stuff of part of Fighting for the Faith. Always dealing with false prophecies.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour at 5 Central at piratechristian.com. piratechristian.com. Christianity.com. Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show, Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, we're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're going to be playing four soundbites for your consideration. One from Joy Pullman, how is Antifa different from the civil rights movement? Another from Dr. Andrew Steinman, Paula White's comparison of President Trump to Esther. Number three will be Dr. Corey Moss. Is he optimistic for the Reformation's 500th anniversary? And number four, Pastor Stephen Parks on the sufficiency of Jesus' work. Sound bites are next, and your votes right after that. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania; Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan; St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California; All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina; Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado; Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota; Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri; and Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.